Well, Deacon Sullivan, why don't you open us up in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for the warm weather that we have to prepare for the cold weather that's coming, and for the ability to gather weekly and praise your name here at the Well of Living Water. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Number 8 from Psalm 108. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I'll sing praises to thee among the people, for thy steadfast love is great to the heavens. And thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Sing it through again. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I'll sing praises to thee among the people, for thy steadfast love is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. You know, when you think about this, coming from Psalm 121:1, of course, Jesus said, look unto the mountains from where your help comes from. we think about some people in different parts of the world, not so much here in America, that their only hope is Christ. Their only hope is that they can pray. Their only hope is that they're waiting for the Lord. And their only hope is that Jesus will come and rescue them and come and give them life. And so that kind of heartfelt trust in the Lord is so important. In Psalm 41, 2 and 3, I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. He pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto the rock. Oh, I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto the rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited and he heard my cry. Sometimes people will say, I don't know that the Lord is aware of what I'm saying or doing. And sometimes they say the Lord doesn't hear my cry, but the truth of the matter is he does hear our cry. And of course, waiting on him means a variety of things, like Isaiah 40:31, I waited on the Lord. It's like waiting on him like a servant waits on a table or something, but it's also waiting for him. It's just the same as if you said to somebody, okay, I want a decision. And they say, well, I can't give you one now. You're just going to have to wait. I have to think this through and figure this out and process this, you know. But being told to wait is not being told no. It's just, you know, when the Lord tells us to wait, you can be sure something better is coming than what we had even thought of. Come. Now is the time to worship. Oh, come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come.
Just as you are
before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship, oh come, just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure in all the world. For those who find you now, come. Now is the time to worship. Now think about this. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come just as you are to worship. And it occurs to me, of course, when you come to the Lord just as you are, whatever condition you're in, and you come to Him and you worship Him, He's going to change you. Of course, we know that the Lord inhabits the praise of His people, and He's present in that praise. So, I mean, when the Lord is present, people are changed. And, of course, we'd say to anybody out there, don't be a Johnny-come-lately. Get in now. And one day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every knee will bow. I mean, we know that that's also New Testament, New Covenant Scripture as well. The day is going to come. And of course, the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. And of course, not being a Johnny come lately, come to the Lord now, and that's the greatest treasure when you think, okay, of all the things that have happened to you and all that you have, what's the most important thing? To say that my heart is with the Lord and that the Lord is my Savior. Okay, God of wonders. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, oh, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, alleluia to the Lord of heaven and earth, alleluia to the Lord of heaven and earth, alleluia to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders, beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy, holy. And even as we were talking earlier about unrighteous people and developers and everything, and people that just lie through their teeth all the time, it's great news to think that God is holy. He's not persuaded by people's funny ways. He's not persuaded by people's pressures. He can't be bought off. He can't be told off or any of those things. He's holy. And of course, we think, you know, many times the word holy, and we called somebody holy, like, oh yeah, they're a holy roller, you know, I mean, seeming like they're hypocritical or something like that. But when we say that the Lord is holy, and that the universe declares your majesty, for you are holy, 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 this universe that the Lord has created declares His holiness. Yes. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. I come, I worship, I bow down. And I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. I come, I worship, I bow down. And I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. For you are my God, and I am a person of your pasture, and the sheep of your hand, just a sheep of your hand, just a sheep of your hand, just a sheep of your hand, to be a sheep of his hand, to be a person of his pasture. And of course, we know that Jesus is portrayed as the great shepherd with the staff and the crook on the end of the staff, because the sheep go astray. Then he may have to put the hook around their neck to rescue them. Or, of course, if they be attacked by some kind of predator, the rod end that the great shepherd would use to whack the predator. And so that image of Jesus as the great shepherd is one that we need to carry with us. Well, today, always wanting to bring some historical events, we know that this week passed on the day that people call Halloween, was the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, which is certainly a great event in history, and as many have said, we probably need another great awakening like that, another great Reformation like that. That the Reformation maybe didn't go far enough, but it certainly went far enough to change a lot of things at the time. On this very day, November 4th, in 1646, the Mass Bay Colony made it a capital offense to deny the Bible as the Word of God. Can you imagine that? That it was actually a capital offense, which means it'd be a could be a death sentence for somebody that publicly denied the Bible as the Word of God. They took it very seriously. And of course, you know, people today would be shocked to think that in 1646, but they considered the people who didn't believe the Bible as the Word of God were dangerous to society. Just the same as we're facing now in our society, where, of course, many of the young people are part of Antifa, which actually means anti-fascist. Many, supposedly this week, these demonstrations that are planned. Many students are coming out and saying that they're socialists, and of course that being a socialist is a good thing, but of course they deny the validity of the Word of God. They denied that the Bible is the Word of God. And of course, like I said, in 1646, that was a capital offense, and you could be tried for that, and you could be executed. I also want to mention that Attorney General Jeff Sessions, by an executive order issued by President Trump, released a memorandum of guidance interpreting religious liberty protections in federal law. There are a few noteworthy statements in the memorandum which could result in increased protections for ministries and Christian business owners as well. We mostly have thought just that protection is for individuals, but also they're interpreting it as protection for Christian businesses. So some of the highlights of that: freedom of religion extends not just to persons, but to organizations, including businesses. Clarifications about the Johnson Amendment. Of course, the Johnson Amendment is basically how the 501c3 started, and answering to government for the activity of the church. And of course, becoming more of a muzzle on the church than anything else. Reinforcing the guidelines on religious expression in the workplace. Expanding the right of religious organizations to employ only those who believe the same way. Those are pretty huge things, and of course to have that memorandum from President Trump, who's been probably more concerned with religious liberty than any president as of late. Basically, I mean, it's very heartening or encouraging to see a presidential administration taking a firm stance on recognizing both the importance of religious freedom in our nation and ensuring our religious rights remain protected. I believe that's good news for every church, Christian school, or religious organization wanting to ensure all employees and staff that share the ministry's beliefs and views. This reinforces many existing protections. There are only a few noteworthy statements in the memorandum, which could result in increased protections for ministries and Christian business owners. While these guidelines will undoubtedly be challenged, they go on to list, explain, and reinforce almost every long-standing legal aspect of religious freedom in a refreshing hard-line stance. This is designed to ensure our religious rights remain protected in the present culture and onward. So we need to keep the presidential administration and our court system in prayer as these guidelines begin to be followed and trusted. Followed and tested. Feel free to contact anybody that you can and ask for an official copy of the memorandum. I also want to mention that Judge Roy Moore was in Washington and gave a very good interview concerning what he believes about not needing to have separate bathrooms, and of course what he believed about lesbian, transgender, gay, and all those kind of things. That in light of this week, how Kevin Spacey, the actor, in trying to soften the blow, so to speak, that happened, that he was reported by Anthony Rapp, an actor, that Anthony Rapp had been molested by him when Anthony Rapp was a minor. It's interesting, too, that Zachary Quintel, who's a homosexual, who's done the latest Star Trek stuff, said that he did not agree with Kevin Spacey using that, that obviously that pedophilia is not right, and Kevin Spacey's admission at the time was sort of like trying to soften the blow of the fact that he was doing those things. So it was great to see that Judge Roy Moore is way ahead of his opponent running for the Senate, and actually has united the Republican Party behind him that wants to see him win. And of course you can be sure that in the interest of draining the swamp, you might say. And President Trump has nominated certain people that actually passed the Senate. One in the appeals, the Seventh Court of Appeals, a woman judge who is a Christian and is very strong. In some cases, it's been questioned whether it's possible that a judge could actually be fair and be a Christian. Of course, Judge Roy Moore is a proof of that, too. So we have some very good things happening that we're hearing about this week, and we appreciate that. We're going to look at a chapter of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3. You can turn there. I am, again, for this week, going to use the Geneva Bible. So we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, which is a chapter that has 22 verses. So each of us will read 5 verses. I will choose to read the last 7 verses. So, starting with Mrs. Lear on my left, if you will read 1 Peter chapter 3 and read the first 5 verses.
Yes, I will. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 from the English Standard Version. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. That was 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 from the English Standard Version.
Okay.
Continuing in the English Standard Version. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and tender heart and humble minds. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. That was from the English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 10.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your heart, honor Christ and the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 15.
Okay, and I'm reading from the Geneva Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Having a good conscience, that when they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed which slander your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and was put to death concerning the flesh, but was quickened by the Spirit, by the which he also went and preached unto the spirits that are in prison, which were in time past disobedience, when once the long-suffering of God abode in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved in the water. Whereof the baptism that now is answering that figure, which is not putting away of the filth of the flesh, but a confident demanding with a good conscience maketh to God, saveth us also by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is at the right hand of God, gone into heaven, to whom the angels and powers and might are subject. I've just read from 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Geneva Bible, from verses 16 through 22. Now, just for the moment, I want to make a little bit of an emphasis on verses 10 and 11. For if any man long after life and to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and follow after it. So we'll say the goal of the chapter, although it starts off in a way that when I think what we read about 1646 is a capital crime in the Mass Bay Colony not to believe the Word of God. How many women today, for example, reading that particular verse 1, let the wives be subject to their husbands, that even they which obey not the word may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And in the English Standard, it was the conduct of the wives more than the conversation. So when you look at it from the standpoint of not trying to find fault with it, but just say, okay, what is God's intent? Well, the intent there is obviously that wives, through their conduct, even if their husband is not godly, would be won by their godly conduct. And of course, many do not appreciate, I'm sure, the actual part of saying that women are the weaker vessel. But of course, the idea of the weaker vessel is not meaning that women aren't valid or that women don't have much to contribute. For even after this moment, in this manner, verse 5, in time past, did the holy women which trusted in God tire themselves and were subject to their husbands. Okay, so once again, being subject to the husband, as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Sir, whose daughters ye are, while ye do well, not being afraid of any terror. And of course, after we read that, and it's very important, and this is the same as some scriptures in Ephesians, for example. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them as men of knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as the weaker vessel, even as they which are heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not interrupted. So a husband that does not do these things as the Lord has asked him to do concerning his wife, what does it mean that prayer is being interrupted? Well, basically, prayer is being interrupted, meaning your prayers would not be answered. And there's many times we are told that there's behavior on our part that will keep our prayers from being answered. And of course, we many times have to ask that and say, let the Holy Spirit guide us. Lord, why does it seem that my prayers are not being answered? And I hear this from a lot of people. And they said, do you know why my prayers are not being answered? I said, well, I can't answer that. Only the Holy Spirit can. But, I mean, we can look at some of the things that Scripture points out and do it as a checklist, saying, okay, what could those things be? And you think about, for example, that the Lord teaches husbands also that what their duties are, and that the more understanding and wisdom that they have, the more wisely and circumspectly they behave themselves. And so that's the reason why the Lord is, and once again to refer to verse 10 and 11, but if any man long after life and to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. And of course, that's very reminiscent of Scripture in Ephesians. It says more or less the same thing. And so, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Let us refrain his tongue from saying evil things or saying wrong things, and his lips that speak no guile. And of course, these are old-fashioned words that many people don't relate to, but that you don't speak any junk. You know, most people, it was interesting the other day, I had a conversation with somebody I hadn't had a conversation for a long time when he saw me on caller ID. He said, boy, it's been a long time since we talked. And he went on a tirade and a rant, and his language was really filthy. It was really bad. And I thought, oh boy, I don't really want to see him, don't really want to do any business with him. And then an occasion came up where I felt that the Holy Spirit said, call him back up. And wouldn't you know, he apologized to me on the phone. He said, I'm so sorry, Garrett, I went on that tirade and that was wrong, talk like that, please forgive me. And that was pretty shocking, because like I said, I wasn't even going to ever call him back again, so I don't want to go through that. But there was the opportunity for him to realize that he was out of order, and for him to ask for forgiveness for that. So, I mean, it can happen to any of us. And the opportunity that we have to turn against those things that are evil and do those things that are good. And of course, the chapter, as I said, is not just about telling wives that they have to be subject to their husbands, or husbands, you know, that they rule over their wives or something like that. That doesn't go over well with most moderns as it is, the radical feminists that we have in our society, because they don't understand God's plan for men and women is very different. I mean, even though the Scripture do say that they're both heirs to God's blessing. It's not that one, only men are heirs to God's blessing. No, it's not that at all. That they're both heirs of God's blessing. They both share equally in that and share equally in God's grace. So, when you're trying to explain to people today, particularly younger people, I suppose, and others as well, why that the Lord would want it this way, and they don't get it, don't want to get it, because that's not how they have learned it. We have to have an explanation for them. And of course, we know that Jesus, towards the end of the chapter, when it says that Jesus allowed himself to be whipped and beaten, to go through all manner of horrible things. And of course, how the Lord took all those things on him for our benefit And of course, that Jesus is at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Of course, that's like the Apostles' Creed. Gone into heaven, to whom the angels and powers and might are subject. So angels and powers and might. That's kind of interesting to use that terminology. So all angels, all powers, all principalities, all authorities are subject to Jesus. Yes. So, Father, we thank you for giving us your word. Holy Spirit being our teacher, helping us to understand these things much better than we do. Particularly that we live in a society where we have not been taught these things. We've not been taught them in the church. We've not been taught them in society. And many have rebelled against the truth of God's word. But we don't want that to be us. Help us to do better what we do, and help us to do better at explaining to others why these things are so as the Lord designed it. And we thank you and we praise you. In your name, King Jesus, amen and amen. We want to pray for our president. We also know this week there are changes in our state government, and for our largest city of Manchester, New Hampshire, that all-out drive to remove from office Mayor Gatsis and a few other pro-life people in our government throughout the state. And we thank you, Lord, that we'll see some amazing turn of events, that Planned Parenthood will not be the ones running these things, and Emily's List bringing in all this money from out of state, that the truth will be revealed and the right people will be in office as you want. In your name, Jesus, amen.